Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in New Orleans, Louisiana, and earned a BA in Sociology and Psychology from Howard University, and a PhD in Educational Psychology from the University of Minnesota. Starting as a sixth grade teacher, he has had a 40-year career in education. In 2011, he became the 25th president of the University of Detroit Mercy, UDM, and its first lay president. The author of 11 books. His name, Dr. Antoine Garibaldi. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasul. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. Antoine Garibaldi, the 25th president of the University of Detroit Mercy. Doctor, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you very much for having me, Jack.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Absolutely. Well, my mother and father, who have passed on from this world, were two wonderful people who had nine children. So I'm number six in the family. So as we like to say, a little small Catholic family in New Orleans. But my parents were two incredible individuals, like so many of our parents are. And my mother was a homemaker, but I thought that she was probably the smartest person in the world. She had a high school education at that time, which was quite big in the 1930s. And my dad, very similarly, had a high school education, went to Xavier University in New Orleans for a year and a half back in the 30s. But most of his career was spent as a Pullman porter on the railroad, and also was a longshoreman, and also as a janitor. So he pretty much was the breadwinner in the family, while my mother kept busy raising children and also being very, very active at the school, at the church, and also in the community.
Doctor, what's the biggest thing you learned from Mom, and what's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
Well, I would say that the biggest thing I learned from my mother was to always be prepared. My mother was really a stickler about note-taking and making sure that she was well-prepared. One of the things I remember about her most was before she would send a letter or a note card to someone, she would always draft it beforehand, and then she would use that in order to put the final touch to, together. I think I picked up that talent, as my colleagues would say. And my father was just an incredibly quiet individual. I often tell people about the fact that when he was off from the railroad and he never had a regular route, he would cut hair. He was a barber on the side, and so many of his friends would look forward to him being home on a weekend or something like that when he could cut their hair. But he was always a attentive listener. Didn't say very much, but always had the right words to say. And I learned a great deal from that, as did my other eight brothers and sisters.
Doctor, where did you get your love for learning and education?
Well, I got my love for learning and education really from my parents. My my mother and father were very, very determined that we would all receive a great education. I went to a Catholic school in New Orleans, St. Joan of Arc School. And that was a really great grammar school, and also my high school years were spent in the seminary. But I always enjoyed learning as much as I enjoyed playing outside, and once you get home from work. But I picked up one of those little awkward talents, such as I would do my homework before I would go out and play. I was probably a little abnormal at that time, but I made sure that I would always get the opportunity to play.
Spoken as a true teacher of 40-plus years. New Orleans, it's a most unique city. Everybody from there is very proud of it. What makes it so special?
Well, I think what makes New Orleans so special is just the diversity there in terms of the people, the culture. I mean, New Orleans is very much like much of Louisiana, a French and Spanish influenced city. And so much of those remnants continue to this very day, as you see people who will come from lots of different places around the globe, many of them with French and with Spanish ancestry, because they can clearly see both the influences of the French. I mean, I hear from lots of my lawyer friends who say, you know, there aren't too many places that practice the Napoleonic form of law, and it's not the same thing as, you know, law in many, many other states. But, you know, the culture, the food, just a mixture of people. There are many people who came to New Orleans in the 30s and the 40s from the East Coast and also from the Midwest, has loads of colleges and universities in that area, as well as people who've gone down there, presumably to go to school, but in actual fact, they ended up spending the rest of their entire lives there.
You mentioned earlier you were a seminarian for 8.5 years. That chapter of your life, how does that serve you today?
Well, clearly, I would have never thought that I would spend 35 years of my current career in three Catholic colleges and universities. I was very committed to becoming a priest in my early days. I was influenced by individuals. Coincidentally, one of my rectors was from Detroit, just passed away last year. He was 87 years old, Father Charles McMahon. In fact, a couple of his cousins graduated from the University of Detroit back in the day. And that was extremely important to me. I just really enjoyed the individuals who were the priests in my parish. And I also recognized the fact that they had really given up a whole lot in order for them to become priests in parishes all across the United States, but for the most part in the South, and also in Washington, D.C., and also in Georgia and Alabama, Mississippi, and the like. But, you know, I spent my high school years and also my college years in the seminary, a year's novitiate as well. And the training that I received there really helps me tremendously in the work that I do in terms of promoting the mission of the Jesuits and the Sisters of Mercy at University of Detroit Mercy. And then also just this, you know, deep understanding of what it is to be a Catholic, because I think if you go to some places, you'll find, you know, Black Catholics, you know, I mean, there are over 3 million Black Catholics in the United States. The majority of them are in the Gulf South states. Many more have moved to lots of other places. But that's another one of those very unique and distinctive features about New Orleans, that the Catholic influence largely comes from the French and the Spanish influence on the city of New Orleans also.
We're talking to Dr. Antoine Garibaldi, who's authored 11 books and more than 85 research articles. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasul, and we're with Dr. Antoine Garibaldi, who in 2011 became the president of U of D Mercy, and as such is its first lay president, which was founded in 1877. Doctor, you started out as a sixth grade teacher. What did that experience teach you about becoming a university president?
Well, I think one of the most important parts of that experience is, and a few others afterward, was patience. You know, you cannot do a job as a teacher unless you have patience and you understand that the learner has the ability to learn, but you have to work with the learner in order to make that happen. And as a seminarian, I used to volunteer my time at a Catholic elementary school in Washington, D.C. And in that time, I got to know lots of the students, actually one of the seminarians, and I used to go over and we would assist one of the religious sisters there at this school, Holy Comfort of St. Cyprian, with the health and physical education component, because there were no male teachers there. And eventually, I got the opportunity to work during the summertime with one of the Title I programs. So I actually worked with some even younger elementary students in social studies and science. So when I made the decision to leave the seminary in the middle of my senior year, there was a vacancy for a sixth grade teacher in social studies and science. And there I fell into the lap. I always knew that I had a great love for teaching. And I'm very proud to say that at least two of my sixth grade teachers, I am still in touch with. They actually call on me from time to time as a reference. And that's a really wonderful experience too. But I really did love teaching. And when I went to graduate school, I had the opportunity to be a principal of an alternative high school for students who had been suspended and expelled from school. But these were very, very bright students. So my passion for education really mirrored several of my brothers and sisters. Five of my eight brothers and sisters were also teachers. So you know, people are always asking whether or not your parents were teachers. And I said, no, my mother was not a teacher, but my mother was the best teacher for all of us. So
2001 through 2010, for 9.5 years, you were the sixth president of Gannon University. Tell us about that chapter in your life.
Well, that was a wonderful chapter. Erie, Pennsylvania. In fact, I just came back last weekend from the wedding of one of my former students in New Rochelle, New York. And still very, very close to him. There are lots of Michiganders who are graduates of Gannon who during the time that I was there. But Gannon is a diocesan university started by the late Archbishop John Mark Gannon, who started the university in 1925, and he was the bishop of the Diocese of Erie from 1921 to 1965. Many of your listeners would probably know it as Cathedral Prep and Cathedral College back in the 1930s and the 40s before it became Gannon University, and they named it after Gannon. But as Gannon is one of eight diocesan universities in the country, the most ones that people know of the most is Seton Hall University in New Jersey, and also University of St. Thomas in St. Paul and Minneapolis. But having the opportunity to be the president then there during a time when, you know, much like the 2007 and also even in current times, that particular community fell on some really tough economic downturn. Lots of the manufacturing plants in the area were closing down. But with the help of lots of my colleagues, we worked to really bring that university from 3,400 students to more than 4,200 students in a period of about 7 or 8 years. But I really enjoyed my experiences in Gannon. It was, you know, like I said, very much like University of Detroit Mercy, quite coincidental, because Gannon also was an institution that merged with a previously all-women school, Villa Maria College, in 1989, 1 year before University of Detroit and Mercy College of Detroit came together in 1990. So Sisters of St. Joseph, the diocesan priests who were there from the Diocese of Erie, a very, very large diocese in northwest Pennsylvania. So it was an experience that I enjoyed, an experience that, frankly, I could not have done had I not had my prior experiences at Howard University in Washington and also at Xavier University in New Orleans.
2011, you're named UDM's 25th president and its first lay president in its 140-year history. What drew you to the University of Detroit Mercy?
Well, a little bit of what I just said about the similarities I saw between the formation of University of Detroit and Mercy College back in 1990, I'd have to say that there was a very persistent search consultant who kept coming back and knocking on my door and said, you know, you really need to talk about this. I was very much aware of University of Detroit as well as Mercy College. Sister Maureen Fay, former president of University of Detroit Mercy and Mercy College of Detroit, is a great friend of mine, was a good friend many, many years ago as well. And I've had the occasion to talk to her in recent months as well. But there was something that was really unique about University of Detroit Mercy, both in terms of its mission with social justice, focus on quality education, a focus on urban context, just like Mercy College. And clearly there was a job to be done here. I think many people probably said, well, why Detroit? And I said, well, I think Detroit is not unusual in terms of major American cities, but there's a lot of rich history here in the city of Detroit. And everything that you would work on in another city, whether it's education, working with the community, and also providing quality education to students, I think you'd find that in other places. So I was really drawn to it and was actually quite surprised at how similar it was to Gannon, but on a larger scale because it's a larger institution.
You have three campuses, three schools, the McNichols campus, the Riverfront campus, and the Corktown campus. Tell us about those three campuses, those three schools.
Well, those three campuses are ones that we are very, very proud of. And because of the McNichols campus in the northwest portion of the city, Livernois and McNichols, that one has been around for a little bit more than 90 years. But the original campus downtown where the School of Law is right next to St. Peter and Paul really speaks well in volumes about the Society of Jesus and its coming to the city of Detroit in 1877. Started off as a high school. Today, University of Detroit Jesuit is still very, very strong. Also, the fact that the university, when it was growing, it needed to move because it needed more space. So that was the McNichols campus. And then now our School of Dentistry, which is on Martin Luther King Avenue, the site of the former Kindred Heights Hospital, is just an incredible facility. And even there, our School of Dentistry is celebrating its 75th year this year in existence. And as one of only two schools of dentistry in the state, it has a remarkable track record in providing dentists for this community because of really strong focus on community-based dentistry. So when Mercy College of Detroit and University of Detroit came together, most of the property that was on the McNichols campus became the site for the majority of the education until that property that Sister Mercy had for Mercy College of Detroit was sold in the early 2000s. But we are very proud to be able to say that we are a Catholic university that has always been in the city of Detroit. It's another interesting coincidence. I mean, we're talking here in 2017 about University of Detroit and its three campuses in the city of Detroit. 50 years ago, in the 1967 riots, rebellion, civil unrest, whatever you want to call it, the Society of Jesus, as well as the Mercy, Religious Sisters of Mercy, made a commitment that they would not leave the city of Detroit. They have remained through all of those years. They took a lot of negative reactions from alumni and from others who thought that they should move, but they did not. So today, you have University of Detroit, Mercy College together as one, two of the three Catholic schools in the city of Detroit are run by the Jesuits, University of Detroit Jesuit and Loyola Academy, the other being Cristo Rey, and one of the four remaining elementary schools in the city of Detroit, Jesu, which everyone knows right across the street from the McNichols campus, remains today as one of those important institutions of the city of Detroit. So there's a lot of history there, but there is also a lot of relationship to that focus on social justice and service. Our students want to come to the city of Detroit. They want to come to the University of Detroit Mercy because there are opportunities there for them to grow, but there are also opportunities to be of service to the city and to the people of the city of Detroit.
Speaking of your students wanting to come, it's a war out there amongst all these universities for the kids. When we come back, we're going to ask Dr. Garibaldi how he successfully matriculating through that competition. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Dr. Antoine Garibaldi, UDM president, UDM was founded in 1877 and is the largest Catholic university in Michigan with nearly 5,600 students. If you want to learn more, www.udmercy.edu. Doctor, when you came in 2011, you had 468 freshman undergrads. This year, 550. That's a 17.5% increase. Luana Simon, Keith Priddy, all of them would die for that kind of an increase. How have you done it?
Well, I appreciate you saying that. They're doing pretty well, too. I mean, it's a very competitive environment today in the recruitment of students for college. Michigan has one of the challenges being the smaller numbers of students, for example, who are graduating from high school today in previous years. But students want to go away from home. Students have many, many more options than you and I did when we were graduating from high school. And so we have had a lot of good success with a lot of hard work. I mean, getting the word out to the university, through the high schools, and making sure that students know that there are opportunities available to them. In addition, we've actually spent a lot of time, and I personally have spent a lot of time going to schools, meeting with principals, presidents of schools, as well as my vice president for university enrollment and other individuals, because we have lots of graduates in the schools in the metropolitan area. So we've taken a lot of different steps in order to make that happen. And our numbers of applications have exceeded 5,000 for the last 2 years, and that's almost 2,000 more than what we had maybe about 5 years ago. So it's getting a message out there. 85% of our students are from Michigan, but we have students from probably 15 to 20 other states. We have students from other countries also as well. I'm particularly proud about the success of our University of Detroit Mercy Catholic Education Grant, which we started 3 years ago. And this year we have 86 students who are from the Archdiocese of Detroit Catholic High Schools. That's a significant increase over the last few years. We had about 68 a few years ago. But each year we have been increasing in those numbers. And it's very simple. It's an opportunity to work very closely with the Archdiocese. The former superintendent, Dr. Daugherty, knew me from my days at Gannon, knew that we provided an incentive for students from Catholic high schools to come to the university. So we began something like that at the University of Detroit Mercy, but we stepped it up big time. So we went from what was used to be about $2,500 in my previous institution at Gannon. We said $5,000 a year for a student who went to an Archdiocese of Detroit Catholic high school from kindergarten or first grade through 12th grade. It also serves the purpose of helping the Archdiocese retain students at some of their elementary schools and Catholic high schools for the duration of their elementary and secondary education. So we have seen some great success there. More than 550 students have been applying from the Archdiocese of Detroit Catholic high schools. That's twice what it was maybe 4 years ago. Students who come from a Catholic high school, they will receive $10,000 over 4 years if that's all that they went to the school. So clearly that has had an influence on some of our students. But what I think, Jack, that students see is they come to the campus, they realize what a beautiful campus that we have at the McNichols Livernois campus, and they also recognize the fact that it's a very small environment. They get to know the students, they get to know me, the other administrators, in a very, very close environment, and they get the opportunity to have a quality education, are able to do service, are able to have some great internships while they're in college, and also great opportunity also to deepen their faith in the traditions that we provide to the students there.
Speaking of getting to know the students, your students are the Gen Zers.
Where?
We all want to get to know inside the heads. What do these Gen Zers, Doctor, truly want and need?
Well, I like to talk about it from the standpoint of the fact that the students today, they're not just looking at a major. They are looking at what can they do with their lives. So while we might have been in school, we were thinking about a job. And actually, most of these students' parents are probably thinking about, will they get a job with ever they major in, but
and leave home,
and of course parents will miss them very, very quickly. So, but they'll be back. But I think it's looking for that deeper purpose in life. I tell the students at the freshman convocation often. At UCLA, did a study of about 112,000 freshman students about 10 years ago. And they asked students about their practice of faith while they were in college. And 3/4 of the students said that their faith actually deepened while they were in college. But they also said that they found meaning and purpose in life during their college years. And I believe that that's what these Gen Zers are looking for. They are going into a world realizing that they will not have one job for the rest of their lives. They are going to have 7 to 10 different jobs or positions in the course of their lives. So they are really there to prepare themselves for that education. And that's one of the reasons why I think universities like ours, which have core curriculums, are extremely important, because a student might not take philosophy, or they might not take some other courses in the liberal arts at another institution, but they will take that plus the social sciences and everything else that they need, even if they're a mechanical engineering major or a student in psychology. So they're looking for a really big experience in college, not just one where they're going to class and studying, but they're looking for an opportunity to be able to do a little bit more than just that, to prepare themselves for the community and the worlds that they're going to be living in.
If you want to learn more, www.udmercy.edu. You mentioned that 3/4 of the students in this survey found purpose and meaning. UDM is huge on community involvement and service. Why, and most importantly, how do you help them do that?
Well, we expose our students to a lot of different opportunities for service. I think that students will say, you know, they prefer one thing versus the others, in part because these Gen Zers and these millennials who are coming to college today, they've had experience in doing service work from elementary school to high school, whereas we might not have received it until we actually got into college if we were going to be involved in any way. So students have many, many different opportunities in order to be active in the community. Well, when students talk about being involved in the community or in the neighborhood, they really want to get involved. They want to be able to interact with the people in the neighborhood. They want to be able to see how they might be of assistance, but they also want to learn about what some of the challenges are. In some instances, I think that it actually influences a change in their majors as they begin to experience that. So we have an Institute for Leadership and Service, which provides students with so many different opportunities here in the city of Detroit for them to really get involved and also engage. We have the Live Six Alliance, which we started as an economic development organization that's really focused on the McNichols-Livernois neighborhood between us and Mary Grove College. Those are extremely important opportunities for the students, too. But students also get involved with alternative spring breaks trips, both in the fall as well as in the spring these days. They can be involved in activities such as Campus Kitchen, where some of our students are very active with senior citizens in the neighborhood. They provide them with meals during the course of the week. So it's really so diverse that our students can really use some of the talents that they have. Our law students have numerous clinics that they provide, from immigration to mortgage assistance to service with veterans. And then we also have our School of Dentistry, which provides so many opportunities for clinical services in our School of Dentistry on a daily basis, too. So across the board, there are just numerous opportunities for students to be involved, but also learn what they're going to be practicing when they leave college.
We're talking to Dr. Antoine Garibaldi, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to the president of UDM, Dr. Antoine Garibaldi. Doctor, there's a culture of the importance of an education in the Jewish community, in the Indian community, Chinese community. How do we get that same level of importance within the inner city community?
Well, I think that we get that same message by going to the schools and really talking to students about what they want to be when they grow up and also what they want to do with the rest of their lives. I'm fortunate that I can go to a school and I can talk about my own personal experiences of being one of nine children. I will tell you that most students, their eyes just get really big when I say one of nine children. And then I say, and my father was a Pullman porter, a longshoreman, a janitor. He was not an educator, nor was he someone who had some prominent life. And I remind students that my parents always said, you are going to get an education. The expectation was that you were going to go to college and that you were going to graduate from college and have the kinds of opportunities that they didn't have. And that really stuck with all of us. And we knew that this was something that was very, very important to them. No one questioned what it's going to cost, what it's going to take in order for me, for us to be able to financially support that. And young people today don't always think about that. So there, one group of individuals who have to be shared with that message, but the other group are really parents. I'm a big believer of talking to parents, and I did a survey back about 30 years ago in a study for the New Orleans Public School Systems. I really focused on African-American males and females because the school district was 90% African-American. But the majority of those students and their parents said that they expected to go to college. And we tried to find what were some of the gaps there. And one of the gaps was that about 25% of the parents had never been to school for a report card conference. And that was one of those items that we called on the business community to say, can you help in this regard? One of the reasons why they didn't go to a report card conference was because they could not manage that in their schedule from work and also taking care of their family. So we came up with a really creative solution, said some of the report card conferences might be able to be out prior to the start of school or maybe immediately after school to accommodate those schedules. But I think that message of every child can learn and also the fact that students should always pursue the highest goal in terms of obtaining education, those are messages that really resonate. And so I tell students, don't worry about what it's going to cost, because if you're a good student in elementary school and in high school, you are going to receive some excellent scholarships and grants that will provide that education for you. So I don't discount the fact that some parents might not see education as extremely important, but clearly today in our society, a student has to have not just a bachelor's degree, they need to have an advanced degree in order for them to be successful in this rapidly changing technological world.
We're talking to Dr. Antoine Garibaldi, president of UDM. If you want to learn more, www.udmercy.edu. Doctor, paint for us a picture of what UDM will be in 2025?
Well, that's a great question, Jack. I would say as we continue to grow as a university that we certainly will be larger than the 5,000 students that we currently have today. We will not in any way depart from our mission of a focus on education and service and social justice and also a deep spiritual expectation in the part of our students. Our students are very, very diverse. Probably half of our students are Catholic. Another good 30 to 40% of our students come from other Christian traditions. But we also have students who are from Muslim backgrounds. We have students who are from lots of other different religious traditions. But we are a place where all are welcome. And one of the things you will also see in 2025 from the university, you'll see that we will have made a significant impact on the neighborhoods where our campuses are located. A lot of that is underway right now through our Live Six Alliance and the McNichols Livernois community. And there are a lot more great things that are going to be coming in the next 3 years. We are very fortunate for the support of numerous foundations, particularly the Kresge Foundation, to help us with some of that work. But we're also working with the City of Detroit and also with the State of Michigan to try to improve that whole surroundings. That is an integral part of what a university is all about. Universities are there in order to be of service to the communities and the students which it serves. It's not just there to provide an education. We like it when people refer to us as an anchor, because if you think about it, had the University of Detroit Mercy, University of Detroit back then, left the community in 1967, that area would not be as flourishing as it is today. And I think that that's extremely important. So we're not gonna depart from our mission in any way.
As our time together winds down, what advice, Doctor, would you give to our young listeners?
Well, to our young listeners, I always tell students when they come to see the campus or they come to see me and I talk about college, I said, major in something that you like. I always tell them, don't think about the job that you would like to have or the one that you think you're going to have. Major in something that you like, because if you like languages, if you like history, if you like writing, you should major in a field where you're going to have all of those different kinds of opportunities, because you're going to do well in that and it's going to take you a very, very long place. And I tell students, study hard. It is not a cliche. It is extremely important, because just like my parents used to say, you have to be not as good as the next person. You have to be better than the next person in order to make sure that you are going to achieve all the dreams and all the goals that you want. So, you know, set high expectations, prepare yourself well, and all good things will fall in place is one of my favorite lines.
Dr. Garibaldi, what a shining example of a servant leader and a great man. Keep up the great work.
Thanks so much, Jack.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.
Believe in yourself.